another ulterior motive I have for learning here. It's not ulterior, it's actually direct. It's because I didn't dump out either tonight, but I ain't stopping at 10:15 if we hear fall behind. Tough on you and tough on me. Okay. Talmud Nina, we're at Nundal and Base. Technically speaking, I guess we should start from the Mishnah to be more helpful, even though we're raised starting more last week. The cost of La Neder. V'shvua Enli Aleich, if you wrote Neder and Shvua, I renounce all rights of Neder and Shvua upon you. Now, this is talking about a husband who appointed his wife, let's say, to run his store or to be in charge of his property. She delegated her actual responsibility of this sort. And he renounced all rights to defer. Normally, you're an employer or you're a boss who delegates, so you can have your employee or your shomer take the shvuas, right? The oaths that they did everything correctly. So Kosovo wrote to Neder Shvua Enli Aleich, I have no rights to make you take an oath. Enli Yochel Eshbia. You can't make her take an oath. Ava Mashbila Seyoshi. But if she has heirs who took over her job after her death, then the husband can make them take oaths. That's a bayin b'shusa. If she sells her rights to other people, so then he can make those people take oaths. Shvua en li aleich, v'lo al yoshayich, v'al boy b'shusech, I renounce rights on all of them to allow any of them to cause any of them to take a shvua. When the Yochel Eshbia, he can't make her take an oath. Lo Asa, not her, v'lo Yosher, nor her heirs, v'lo Zaboyim B'shusa, nor those who come instead of her, Abu Yoshim, but his heirs can make her take an oath, v'etz Yosher, or her heirs, v'etz Zaboyim B'shusa, those who take her place by buying her business, whatever the case may be. Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yisner, Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yisner, going to be very important. We'll come back to them, as a matter of fact, on Nun Hayim Adalv in some detail. Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yisner, Tarvayin, I mean, they both said, Lo Sof Torah Ben Chosim Shishtalto Ben B'chai Ebala. That which he exempted from Shavuot is not just property, which he was given governance over in her husband's lifetime. If you Ben Chosim Shishtalto Ben L'achar, he says about, even property she's given governance over after her husband's death, and a Yoshim Ashbiyim Asa, the heirs are not allowed to cause her to take her shvua. He renounced that. And he renounced it even for property which she takes hold of after his death. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss this. As I said, what are we talking about? What kind of property? When? You know, surely when he gives the p'tur, it's only during his lifetime. Well, after his death, it's a new ballgame. So that's what we're going to have to see what exactly the parameters are, but not now. We'll come back to that after the next Mishnah. Tom and Zim, we learned over there. Again, very interesting discussion. I rent, this is actually the parallel discussions in the Bavli. Somebody who rents an animal, a cow, from his pal. The shilach, and he lends it to somebody else with permission. Okay? So he rented and then he lent it out. Umesuk darka, and the animal died in a normal death. Yishav asoichah shemesuk darka. So he's got to take an oath that the animal died its normal way, and he's off the hook. Vashoyel, the borrower, it wasn't mesa machmas alocha. Shoyel is potter if he dies because of the work. But the shoyel, yishav asoichah, he pays the renter, from whom he borrowed. So who comes out ahead here, obviously? The renter, right? Because the renter is exempt from paying the owner, but the borrower must pay the renter. Okay? That's the way it goes. Unfair, but that's the way it is.
Well, the renter paid rent.
Right, but he didn't pay the full value. He just paid rent. Okay? Rabbi Hillel Shemriani said, as I said before, must see where he got permission to rent unto others. The time Rabbi Chia came, we also learned Rabbi Chia thought it's a price of disrespect. In a show, a borrower is not allowed to lend unto others. Nor a a renter to rent unto others, v'lo ashor rashay laskir, nor may a borrower rent unto others, v'lo socher rashay lashil, nor may a renter lent to others, v'lo mishuhuvka netzlo, nor may a person who was given an object for safekeeping, rashay lafkid etzachar, give to another person safekeeping, elekei notlu reshus me'abaylin, unless everybody's got permission from the owner. They're first people in line, right? V'kulam sheshino shemen chosein shalom midasa pailim. Anybody who changes the manner of their which they're authorized to watch with safekeep without the owner's consent, chayavin, they're chayav. Says more, wait a minute. It says kulam sheshino because they changed. V'ashoel, I feel lo shino chayav. Is Nishol chayav even if he wasn't mishane? Shol's always chayav for everything. He's the loser in the deal, right? Because it's a borrower, he's chayav for everything which possibly can occur. So what do you mean? Because he's mishanek, because he changed and didn't do what he was authorized to do. No matter what, he's chayav. Ela begins at Tina, because it says, mat eshoyim rechinim, the reason why it says it here, that even shoyim, is because we have a halacha that eshoyim rechinim can make a condition, the ospatim in ashvua. Normally you can make eshoyim rechinim take ashvua that he wasn't Poshea, that he wasn't criminally negligent. He can make it tonight. I'm only accepting the Shmira al Menas on the condition they don't make it take a shvur. And, here's the crux, if I surely has brought him in the shalom, a shoel can make a condition, say, I'm only taking the shale on the condition that you exempt me from paying under XYZ circumstances. So it's coming to tell here, Shava Bisha'is name Oshu Potter, even though a shoel made a condition that he should be exempt. That's only if he kept the terms of his shmirah. But he gave it to somebody else instead of keeping himself, so he's chayav. Okay? So Shoel, who gave it to somebody else without asking permission, even though he has exempted himself personally from liability, but since here what he did is not himself, but rather he gave it to somebody else, so then he's still chayav, unless the Baal HaBayis gave him explicit position to give the permission to give it to somebody else. Okay? Period. Bigesh Lashbias Hashoel. Now, what are the Baal HaBayis? The owner had a renter who rented it out, to whom he rented it out, and the renter, with permission, loaned it out to somebody else. And now the animal got damaged, or where have you been?
How'd you get it so fast?
And now the animal is dead. Something happened to it, right? So as we said before, the borrower.
Is it
true? Yeah. You can sit on it. It's a table officially, but you can sit on it. I don't think it's right. These things are very heavy and sturdy. Okay. So again. The owner, he wanted to make the borrower take an oath. In other words, he wanted to skip the middle step, even though he knows he can't get his money back, but he wanted to try and extract an oath to make sure that the borrower wasn't negligent or didn't do anything wrong. So can he do it? The Shmini made a dot here from here. Kosav from our Mishnah. This is why this is brought down here. Kosav, he wrote to a woman, Neder Ushvu, Ainli Alayich, I can't make you take an oath or a vow, Ainu Yochel Ashbia. You cannot make her take an oath or now. Avo Mashbia is your share, but you can cause her heirs and those who come instead of her to take a Ushvu. So that teaches us that even though you exempt a specific person, so just here the tenant, the renter himself was exempt, but he could skip and go down the line and go to him by a woman, even you exempted her yours, as we found by a woman, that even you exempted her, you make her heirs or those who take her place, take her shvua. Okay? Hadar yafa minahi, vayyafa minadar, were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. Okay, that case learns from our case, and our case learns from that case. Okay, hado yafo minahi means, even though that normally means, our case learns from that case here means, that case learns from our case. She'im bigesh lashbias ha-shoel. Actually, not yet.
Well, this will be clear.
She'im bigesh lashbias ha-shoel. If you want to cause the borrower to take a shvuah, even though that's giving a step because you rented it out to X, and X, you rented out to X, and X loaned it out to Y. Nevertheless, you can make Y take a shvuah, right? As you just said, mashbio v'ayi alfa minada. In that case, is learned out from our case. Shin bigesh lashbi, meaning our case is learned out from that case. That's where we switch the tenses. Shin bigesh lashbi asaisha, and here we learn if you want to make the woman take a shvuah. Shumashbi, it says shalom mashbi, but it should be shumashbi. Meaning that in a case where you gave your wife discretion to give the thing you're giving over into her hands to somebody else, but you didn't exempt her from a shvuah. You came to her and said, you have permission, you're going to be my chancellor of the exchequer. You're in charge of my property. You can give it to anybody you want. But if she does, that's not automatic exemption from a shvuah. Just like over there by Shoymer, even if you gave permission, you could still cause somebody to take a shvuah. So to hear the same thing, okay? Amar Rabbi Chinan and Amar Rabbi said lo tzurcha meila fahiminato. You don't have to learn that our case from that case because that's obvious. Umar tzurcha telif hahiminato. What's the case which I have to learn from that case? The case of a shomer giving to another shomer. What do I have to extrapolate from there? Kai de mara b'ilav shomer, like that which Rabbi Yehuda said, never b'yanei. For who should know some lo reshus la'ashil? That the only time a guy who rented out can give to another guy as a loan and still be exempt is if the original owner gave permission to do so. Hacha, so to hear, Vushanasam is law reshus, the husband must give his wife permission, Shebana apotropsim, that her children should be apotropsim. Otherwise, she has no right to give it further. Right? It has to be with permission. I'm Rabbi Yosef, this is said, Tzorech lahalos lo schar kozman sheyischura etzlo. Now, technically, what this means is that a tenant, a renter, has to pay for the cow as long as he borrows it, right? Now, that seems to be obvious, though. Mm-hmm. As long as you rent the cow, you got to pay for it, right? So the Shai Torah wants to change it to and I think he's right, wants to change it to Tzorech La'oslo Pora Kozman Shizkur Etzlo. I think you were talking not about the idiot factor, but about the schlamazel factor. Your cow died. You Reuven, no, let's take Hertz. Hertz rent the cow, right? Hertz rented out a cow to Reuven. Reuven then loaned the cow to Shimon. The cow, Shimon, the cow dies. Reuven goes to Hertz, and he says, listen, Hertz, I paid you for rental. You need to provide me with a cow. So what's happening here is that Reuven gets the cow from Hertz and can use it at the same time that Shimon has to pay him for having in his possession the cow which he borrowed from Reuven died. Okay? So Reuven gets the best of both worlds. He rented from Hertz, so Hertz has to provide him with a cow. The cow he rented from Hertz to begin with died in the hands of Shimon. Shimon, to whom he loaned it, has to pay him. So now he'll have his cow and eat it too. Not literally. He'll get a cow from Hertz, and he'll get his money from Shimon. Okay.
That's up to Hertz's discretion whether he wants to.
No, he paid rent.
So he's forced to?
Hertz got it, yeah, that's the obligation, yeah.
It's like if a house burns down, they got to be the landlord.
That's a Maaseh Shehoya that I rented a car from Avis
yeah.
in New York. The car was stolen.
Right.
And I went back to Avis and asked for another car.
And they gave it to you.
They didn't want to give me one.
They didn't want to give it to you?
No, because I was a bad risk.
So what do they do? But then they don't have anything.
I had to appeal to the manager, and it took me over half a day to get to finally the manager to give me, let me have another car. But I was a bad risk because I had a stolen car.
But I think they have to give it to you if you have a rental. What do you say, lawyer?
It's their discretion.
No?
It's New York.
The rental's on that object.
It's on that object, not on a car?
Initially, you don't sign a lease for you sign
a generic car.
It's for some time, at the time, the contract's in effect. It's a specific car to a specific person, and that's it.
Okay. I don't think it's that way in Halacha, as we see here. At least quite the Shai Torah says, throw Girsa. That's me. So, moving right along. Rabbi Zir Shal Rabbi Avuna. Rabbi Zir asked Rabbi Avuna the following question. Shalua Bailim Mesa. This is another very sad case. The, let's say Hertz. Hertz rented the car out to Reuven. I mean, rented the, well, it's could be car too. But no, but it actually has to be a cow, as you will see. Rent out the car to Reuven. Then he said, listen, can I borrow it back from you? So Hertz said, can I borrow it back from you? So Reuven said, sure. Umesa. Then it died. So what happens then?
Hertz has to pay Reuven.
Hertz got to pay Reuven. That's right, because he borrowed from him, right? So he's got to pay Reuven, right? Amar Lei, so he said, Kaelin Amrin, do we say this, Afilu Ochlin, Achlu, even if the, what about if Hertz ate the cow? What about in that case? So Amar Yosef, I don't remember this at all from the Bible, so I assume it's not there. Amar Yosef, no. Ochlu Shalohen Ochlu. If they eat the cow, it's theirs. Now, the Ribbaz has a beautiful explanation of this. He says, If the cow dies, you're chayv to pay because you're a sholel, and a sholel's chayv to pay in case of death. So Hertz borrowed back his cow from Reuven. He's got to pay Reuven for the cow that he borrowed, which is really his cow. That's it. That's tragic, but that's the way it is. However, if he ate it, says the Ridbaz, he's not a sholel anymore. He's a goslin. But that's paradoxical. You can't steal your own cow. So that's why he's potter, okay? So if he eats it, he's potter, because then he's a goslin. And a goslin, he can't steal his own thing. So in that case, he's potter. But if it died on his hands, he never stole it, so he remains a shul. In that case, he's chayef to pay. That's an amazing distinction. But it is logical. Makes sense. Okay? Yeah, he would have to, but it's half, but that's the at that point the paradox of not being able to steal your own thing stops that possibility. Yeah, he says I hear, right. I'm Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Zira Boyku Rabbi Yassi. Rabbi Zira asked for Rabbi Yassa, hey Chavtin, Uvda, what do we do now? Now in the case we just mentioned, but rather, what's Allah by Sharma Shemosa and Sharma? Somebody said, Tre Kokolo Kabal Arba. Beloved in Uva, we have two Amoroim against four. I don't think we paskin that Sharma Shemosa and Shomer, the first Shomer is Chayim. This is where you gave, Shomer gave to another Shomer without permission. You didn't have permission to do so. So in that case, we have the four Amoroim, Tanoim, Musa Amoroim, who say the initial Shomer is Chayim, two Amoroim who say the Shomer receives it as chayv, so we pass my four over two. Amalisa said, no, tre kovel, kol kovel, tre inu. It's two opposite two, because two of the four are students of the other two. Rabbi Lezer, Tamir, Rabbi Chia, Ruba, Lezer, Sun, Rabbi Chia, the Great, and Rabbi Yochan, Tamir, Rabbi Yanai. So it's really, the students don't count as separate opinions, so it's really two against two, and the Mori here doesn't say how we pass him. Halach above. Nerish Vua, the husband says, the right to make you take an oath. Ainly, I don't have lowly or shy, nor do my heirs have against you. Below the body of anybody I would sell my rights to. Alaych v'yoshach, not on your heirs, Lord. Boim Bishul said, not people who come, who you buy out your rights. Harei zein yochol ishbiya, he can't make a toke, take an oath. Lo hu, not he, lo yoshi, not his heirs, lo bershus, and nor others that get his pet, that take over his rights. Lo sa, not her, lo yoshen, nor her heirs, lo sa bershus, and nor those that take over her rights. Now, new issue. Hochem ikeva ba'al lebeis aviyah. She went from her husband's grave to her father's house. She went back to her mother's house. If during the interim period after the death she had not done anything with the property as guardian of the property, so the heirs have no right to make her take a shvur. If, however, after death she did something with the property, they make her take an oath on that which came after the death, not that which came before the death. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda said, if she did her guardianship, her stewardship, during her husband's lifetime, then she's exempt. I must have stopped. But Trumpy Lacham, he says, about what she did her stewardship after her husband died, Hayoshimash Bimosa. The heirs make her take an oath and do mas nisa. And that's what the Mishnah says here. Lost up, but Trumpy, she didn't do any stewardship after her husband's death, and Hayoshimash Bimosa. The heirs can't make her take a shvua. Vim Osta asked the Trumpy if she did a stewardship after her husband's death, Hayoshimash Bimosa. The heirs make her take a vow. Lossy level on that which happened after the death. Very much we know the shava, not which happened before the death. Ezul shava. What's before? Says more. I want to qualify something. And this goes back to what they said. Rabbi Yoina said, this is Rabbi Yoina again. Rabbi Yoina said after the previous Mishnah, at the beginning of Alocha, hey, you know what after death means? It doesn't mean literally after death. Right after the death, she can still deal with the property and be exempt from a shvur until the time of burial. The time of burial seals it, because until then, she's still involved in the property because she has to close the affairs. So only after the time of burial, that's when, if she continues to do stewardship, then the heirs can make her take an oath. Okay? So that's what he says here. Ezul shavah, that she's still exempt, even Mishas Misa Va'ad Shas Kvura, even from the time of death until the time of burial, she's still exempt in that period. V'am Rabbi Yehi said, no, Afilu Asa Apotropio, even if she made stewardship, she was in charge, La'achar Misa's Bible after her husband died, Eina Yorshimash Bein Hosa, the heirs cannot make her take an oath. That's a continuation of her prior stewardship. So they can't make her take an oath because their father exempted her from taking an oath. Says the Gemara, Vatina, did we learn? One second, how can you say it? It explicitly contradicts our Mishnah. Vatina lost her apotropia. Does our Mishnah say only if she didn't do any stewardship after death in the Yerushalmi, so the heirs can make her take an oath. However, he must apotropia, if she did the stewardship after her husband's death, Hayerushalmi, so lost the love. They can only make her. They can make her take a shvur now, which happened after that. Very much being a soul of shavar. They can't make her take a shvur in the past, but on now they can. So pasar lo al rosha. So they said Rabbi Yosi is going on the resha. He's going on the previous mishnah that where he said that he didn't there it said that. He accepted to exempt her from any shvua, but he never accepted upon his heirs. In Halacha Vav, he exempts not just himself, says, I can't make you take a shvua, but even my heirs can't make you take a shvua. In Halacha Hey, he just said, I can't make you take a shvua, but my heirs might be able to make you take a shvua. So Rabbi Yossi says, who says that even if she did apotropia after her husband's death, the heirs can't make her take a take an oath, so that means he himself can't make her taking oath even after, even after Trump, he himself can't make her take an oath on that which happens. Actually, now I think about it, obviously he can't, he's dead. Mm. No, it's the ears. It's the ears. Look back, but five lines up. The heirs can't make her take an oath. Why? Aki says, "What the lost up with troubles any Yoshim Mashbiyimosa? He must have with troubles any Yoshim Mashbiyimosa." We said that the heirs can make her take an oath. Lost he love, vain lost he love on future Mashbiyimosa the shavar, not in the past. So he says, that's where the where can the heirs make her take an oath? Where the on what happened after her husband's death? Where the in the case of Alocha, hey, where only the deceased husband said, I renounce the right to make her take an oath. But of course, then the other heirs can make her take an oath, right? The heirs can make her take an oath because he renounced, the husband renounced the right. But he didn't make a stipulation that all his heirs should renounce the right. So therefore, in that case, he obviously, the heirs can make her take an oath. When can't the heirs let her take an oath or make her take an oath? In our Mishnah, a case where the husband repudiated the right, even not just for himself, but also for his heirs subsequent to himself. Okay, so says Mar.
Can he really do that? Can he repudiate the right for
himself? Yeah, he can.
Sure,
he can.
Other people.
Yeah, because they all come from his authority. Because he's in charge of the state now. Vina Rosha. So wait a minute. If it's going on the first Mishnah, it's a Rasha, it's a Kasha also. Because we said Kado, we said back then, Rabbi Yoina, Rabbi Yisrael Tarvayin, I mean, they both said, Lo Sotar, Min Chosim, Shanish Latar, Bahem B'chayi Bala. If he exempts her, he exempts her not just on property during her lifetime. Alfin, the Chosim, Shanish Nishtauta, Bahem Lacham, Yisrael Sabal, even property which comes after her husband's death, Eina Yoshim Hashpimel, so the heirs can't make her take an oath. If he exempted himself, so on property which he stewards even after his death, they can't make her take an oath. So what's Rabbi Yezid saying? A property afterwards, they can't take an oath. So the answer is obvious. Basalai says, Mishas Misa, Shah Masa, Shas Kvura. That which the heirs can't make her take an oath, where the husband exempted only himself. The heirs still can't make her take an oath until the grave, until the burial. After that, the heirs can make her take an oath, unless it's like our Mishnah, where the husband explicitly made a stipulation that his heirs would not be able to make her take an oath either. The Mar Rabbi Avov, Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Avov, saying Rabbi Yochanan, Mishas Kvura, Vachas Yuchas Misa, Achas Kvura, and Yosh Mesh Bimosa. From the time of death until the time of burial, the heirs have no right to make her take a shvur. Tani Bar Kapur, why is that? You shouldn't leave the corpse lying around and go back home. Okay? It wasn't that much of a loving relationship there. So we're afraid that you would just leave the corpse around and go back home. Okay, new issue. Halacha Zayin. Hapogemes ksuvasa, somebody who damages her, a woman who damages her own ksuma, that's actually going to be explained, halacha ches, what that means. Lo tifra elabik shvua, she can only redeem her ksuva if she takes an oath, the rest of her ksuva. Now, pogemes ksuvasa, I'll tell you what it is, because otherwise we won't understand the Gemara. Pogemes ksuvasa means a woman confesses or allows that she actually collected already part of her ksuva, not the whole thing, but part of it she already collected. That's pogemes. Okay? She damages her ksuva. She says, even though it says $200, I already collected $100. Okay? So, pogemes ksuvasa, lotifra el bishu, she may not collect the rest of her ksuva unless she takes a shvua. Eid echamida she perua. If one witness testifies that the document, that the shvua, the ksuva already been paid up, she can deny and battle this witness, but she's got to take a shvua on it, right? I mean, if she wants to collect from property which is under lien to somebody else, or sold to somebody else. Michus Yisrael property which belongs to orphans. Lotip Rav Shua, she has to make a shvua. Hanifrash lo parav, if her ex-husband went to Chutzlars and she wants to get her ksuva, Lotip Rav Shua, she also needs to have a shvua as well. Okay? An oath as well. Now,
that the husband left?
No, the shvua is even though her husband's not around, he owes me money. Even though he's not around to defend himself, so therefore we make a take a shvua. On Rabbi Zir Rezir said, "Ein shvuas teira yodu lehem." It's like a shvua that writes now, where it's a make and take a shvua, but it keeps us chayfet. It's holding on to an object and saying, you know, I do solemnly swear, not just to take an oath in court without holding on to an object. They made it severe. Even though deraisa, there's no such thing as somebody takes a shvua and collects. All shvuas deraisa are shvuas to retain. The oaths that I shouldn't have to pay or shouldn't have to release. There's a shvua to collect. She's taking a shvua to collect the shvua. Nonetheless, they made it like a shvua deraisa. Now I ask more a very interesting technical question. Oh, lomdish question, I'd say. Sorry. Hey, wait a minute. Uksuva lo huchsuka now, it should be biyada. Likvos. Uksuva, she's not, it's already hers. Why should take a shvua? She's got a shtar. Since when does somebody have a shtar, a document, have to take a shvua? It's as if she's holding on to the kohomi at likvos kagobli dami. It's as if she already collected it. Right? So why should she have to take a shvua? So it says, Mark, it's a brilliant answer. Listen to this. El Kamisha Gomez. You're right. It's as if she collected. Mikameh, so therefore, it's on the contrary, it's as if it should be who, not vehu. Who kitova? It's as if he's demanding im ashtar. The im here is a little bit superfluous. I'm not sure exactly if it should be there or not. You know, the Megillah says, amar im hasem ra im hasefer. So there I think also it's like im ashtar means he says, about the shtar, shemasayim of 200, which is the ksuva, paruo. It's repeat dima already. In other words, it's as if she collected. So what is he really saying? He's trying to extricate money from her. So I say, hey, you're holding on ksuva, which is 200 bucks worth of paper. You owe it to me. Give me back the paper and my 200 bucks, which are adhering to that paper, not explicitly, but implicitly. Give it back to me. Vehi omeris mana, and she says, no, I only owe you 100 because 100, I only owe you, I only, she in essence says, 100 bucks I already received, which means you only owe me 100 bucks, which means it's as if she's being moide b'miktsas. So if she's conceding part of the claim, saying you talk only, even though the document says, so that's why it's not, even though ksuva is like as if it's collected, but in this case is like moed b'miktsas because of that reason, because as if the paper she's holding is worth 200 bucks, and he wants that 200 bucks from her back, that paper, and she says, well, 100 of these bucks, you're right, they're coming to you. Meaning, because you only owe me 100 bucks, because you already paid. So she's like a moida b'miktsas. So that's like a chiyuv d'oraisa. And that's why we made her take a shvua. Even though it's not a real chiyuv d'oraisa, because it's not really as if she's moida b'miktsas. Moida b'miktsas is when I owe you money. But here, since it's as if she already collected the ksuba, it's as if she owes half of the ksuba back to her husband. And that's why we made her take a shvua of similar to shvua d'oraisa. Okay? Says the Maratani, we learned. Hapogamas, who takes a shvua? Somebody who says part of her ksuba is already paid. The law pocheses ksubas, but not somebody who diminishes her ksuba. What's the difference? What's a pocheses? Ketzar, oisa ksubas masayim. If her ksuba says 200, viomaris money, she doesn't say I already got 100. She says, no, the ksuba is we wrote 200 because we made a mistake on the chuppah when we wrote the ksuba, but you really only owe me 100. Like as if she says, I was really not a besula, I was a ba'ula. So then that's pocheses. Pogamis, where she says, she was owed 200, but she already got 100. Pocheses, where she says, she was never owed 200. She was always owed 100 to begin with. So pogames to collect the other 100, she's got to make a shvua. Pocheses, she doesn't have to make a shvua. Says the Gemara, ma ben pogames, ma ben pocheses, what's the difference? Amar Echin Echin said, pogames, by pogames, po maso mata bin asayim. There's some willings and dealings. In which she says that she got, and she didn't get all of it. But there was already some types of deals made in which she made a partial collection. Whereas Pocheses, by the woman who says her ksuva was never worth more than 100, lo ba masu masu bein time. There's not yet been any cases or any the discussion between the two of them, and therefore we give more credibility to her even without a shvua. Okay? Rabbi Yirmiyah bar, Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, k'mo dat amar tamon, eid echad midashi prua, the one witness testifies, k'suva is already paid up, loti v'ra b'shuva, she wants to collect anyway, she's got to take a shvua, with the kavasa, so to let's say the same thing, eid echad midashi p'chusa, if one witness testifies that the k'suva should have been diminished by 100 bucks. In other words, not that it was paid, but it really was only 100 bucks suva, not a 200 bucks suva. No tiv chosel b'shvua. It's the other way around. Sorry. Minor mistake. He says, just like I said over there, Eidecha midashi proof, one witness testifies that suva is already paid. If she wants a collection, she's got to make a shvua. Let's say when this comes and says, hey, Yankel and Sarah, when they got married, they didn't get 200 in the ksuva. What did they write in the ksuva? 100 bucks. So she's not the pocheses, but the aid is poches. The aid diminishes the value of the ksuva, so that should be enough to require her to take a shvua, right? Because already you have one witness who says she's not owed what she claims to be owed. So it says more no. Rabbi Yosef said, "B'shosh eidachad me'ida she p'chusa." When one witness testifies that the ksuva is p'chusa, we don't believe him. You know why? Because he's kaid echad makish shayim. It's like one witness denying two witnesses. Who are the two witnesses? Who are the two witnesses is going up against?
Star.
The two witnesses on the star. Do as I start testified that the ksuva is 200 bucks. He's one witness who says the ksuva is only 100 bucks. We don't accept him, right? If the one aid says she was poigamer ksuva, she collected part of it. He's not contradicting the two witnesses on the ksuva, saying they're avara. Once upon a time was $200, she already collected $100. Then the witness generates a chiyuv shvua. But if the one witness says, no, the ksuva is not supposed to be read as written, then he goes up against the two witnesses and we don't listen to what he has to say. Okay? Tani, we learned, you have an heir whose father, before he died, said, you know what, I have a document outstanding, a bill of loan outstanding against Shmerel for 500 bucks, but he paid me 100 bucks. Father admitted that. So what happens now? And then the father died, of course. Son poisoned him for admitting that. So now, can the son collect all 500 bucks? No. Can he even collect the 400 bucks without taking a shvua? No. It's got to take a shvua, it would seem, right? Because he's... I was telling the truth. Maybe his father, just like he got it, his father got 100 bucks, maybe his father got another 100 bucks another time, right? So it says, Gemara, that's the time. Yerushipogam ovishtar chova ben govishlo b'shvua. No, he can collect without a shvua. B'zeh yofet koyach ha-ben mikochov. In this manner, the son's power is superior to the father's power. The father, she-ben govashlo b'shvua, the son collects not a shvua, vav enu govashlo b'shvua, and the father wouldn't have needed to take a shvua. Rabbi Lez says, other shvuas he's got to take. He doesn't have to take the shvua. You owe us 400 bucks. That's what he has to take. But he has to take the shvua, the standard shvua which heirs have to take. Minishma shvua yorish. What are those? A shalom piduno abba. Our father not give us any commands concerning the transaction. B shalom arlono abba. our father didn't say anything to us about this transaction. See, Shlomatidu Starbet Shtosef Shalarba, Shishtar Zepuro, found no documentation among the documents of our father that this document was ever paid up. Now, says the Gemara, a Gevaldige Yerushalmi Tzushta. We haven't had one of these in a while. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yoshi asked a question. Seems that this brisa, which says that the kid collects the document without taking an oath, it's like Beshamer. The Beshamer says, a soita, noitelos ksuvos of a loy shoita. Now let's talk about a soita. A soita is a woman, of course, who's supposed to drink the bitter waters, right? If she doesn't drink the bitter waters, she doesn't get a ksuva. She gets divorced and she doesn't get a ksuva, because we assume that she was mizan. If she does drink the water, she dies, right? So let's say, in this case, just before she drank the bitter waters, under mysterious circumstances and straightforward circumstances, her husband dropped dead. Okay? So she's not going to drink anymore. So she gets the ksuva. So Beishamai says she gets the ksuva of Eloshoi since she doesn't drink. Beishilo argues. Beishilo says since she didn't drink, she doesn't get the ksuva. Had she drunk and come out with flying colors, she would get the ksuva. Because, I mean, she's innocent, but she didn't drink. In this case, she doesn't get the ksuva. So, but Beis Shammai says, if the husband's not around to make her drink, so then she gets the ksuva, right? So, because it says, Hevev Rashi Bizan Vevia Ba'asla Ishto. The husband has to bring his wife, right? So it seems that where something has not clarified, the woman gets her ksuva without drinking the waters, right? Look at drinking the waters as a shvua, right? The same thing here. Seems like the opinion which holds that the son gets the proper, the whatever it says in the IU, without his having to take a shvua, is exactly like Bishama, not like Basil. Because like Basil, just like there, you can't collect the ksuva because you can't drink, she can't collect the ksuva because she couldn't drink the waters. So here, the kid should not be able to collect the outstanding loan because he can't take a shvua. Of course he can't take a shvua because only the father could take a shvua. Okay, says Mar, no. I'm Rabbi Yossi, time on bed, time of the Beis Shammai. There, the Noah Beis Shammai says, what do they say? Because they say, Havil Bali Vani Shoyse. Bring me my husband and I'll drink. What, you want to deprive my ksuva? I'm willing to drink. Bring me also a drink. So what if he was poisoned? I didn't poison him. Uh-huh. But here, Bidino Yafil Aviv Lo Yishova. The truth is, if her father, this father had a star, he shouldn't take a shvu himself. Bidoraisa. He has a star. If he's Michael $100 by saying, pay me $100 on the star, that's his own magnanimity. We shouldn't penalize him for that, right? Bedinu, so he didn't have to take a shvur off. But Rabban imposed a shvur, right? To takora tiktu bo shishova. They made a takora that nevertheless a shvur should follow in that case. Bo tiktu, this takora, this chumra they made with him, with no lo tiknu. Okay? By his kin, they never made such a takora. Came at your mace once he dies, and mata bin aldi vdin taira. And the book gave his kid the status of the Doraisa, meaning no shvua necessary, the kid collects. Now, however, what about Nischayev Ovi Shvua Basin? What if it actually got to court? And Basin said to the father, hey, Yankel, you gotta take a shvua. And then he dropped dead, right? Dropped dead. So then, then he died, Aimbo B'no Goyven. In that case, the son can't collect. Because the father was already Chayev Shvua Basin. If the father was in our status where basically would have been Mechayev Mishu, but haven't gotten around to locate, had you not told me that, our minor army, what would you have said? Yeshadam Reish Vassal of No. Can a parent bequeath the Shavuot to his kid? Obviously, the kid can't collect. Rabbi Yovin said, Taka, it should be Atamar. It says Atamar, but the Chaitar is a change. It's Hachin Amar. It's the same thing. We see from here that if a father admits that part of the star has been paid in court, and b'no gov, the son cannot collect it. Rav Chista bar, Rav Chista asked, I don't understand. Mamash about the question he asked here, it seems like. He says, begin the halach, aviv. Begin the halach, ilain tarte psiosa. Just because his father took two steps and went to court. Who mafsid? He loses? The father can see it outside of court that the star was partially paid off. You say the kids can still collect because no chiv shvua. Just because he went to court, his kids can't collect. It's a good question, but it's never answered. And it sounds like that's in fact the case. If the father was playing game story, he admitted part of his cuckoo was paid up in basin, since that generates a chiv shvua on him, his children are lost because that shvua can't be made by them. On the other hand, if he never got the basin and no chiv shvua is generated against him, so then in that case his kids can collect without a shvua. Okay, let's go on to a new issue. Menich says somebody comes to collect from the property of from orphans, lo tipra la bir shvua, you need to take an oath first. We never allow collection to take place from the property of orphans who are not yet sufficiently acquainted with their father's property. Unless there's a document outside them with which there's interest. They show in some say for the ksuva isha. Some say even for the ksuva woman. Why? Why do we collect for the ksuva woman even from the property of the Yisraimim? Or maybe I'm named Zonos, because otherwise the meter is ticking on something else. It's like ribbis, because what are they paying the whole time that their husband's wife doesn't collect her ksuva? They're paying Mazonos. So therefore it's to their advantage to pay up the ksuva as soon as possible, get rid of Mazonos, which is like ribbis. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Tanya, Rabbi Tanya said this, I'm explaining next more according to the Ridbas. I'm Rabbi Tanya, Manachash L'mazoinas, what are you talking about? We have a halacha not brought down here, but brought down elsewhere. Later in Ksuvas. Once a woman demands her Ksuvas, she doesn't get Mazonos anymore. So the Mazonos meter stopped ticking, even without paying up the Ksuva. Because the halacha is once a woman demands Ksuva, she loses Mazonos. So why do we have to pay up? She's got the worst of both worlds. She won't get Mazonos and she won't get her ksuva. Why don't we just say that? Says Gemara, no. But says, I'll answer you. Ma'achash Mazonos, Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, I'm there, but Magve Adover Toli. Rabbi Shimon says, when does the Mazonos meter stop ticking? Only if she actually collects. But not if she just demands it. So in that case, if she demands her ksuva, will give it to her in order to get the Mazonos meter stopped. Maikadun says more, what are we passing? Meaning, according to this going back actually to Rabbanan, who say that she doesn't get Mazonos after she demands the ksuba. So do we collect the ksuba from the property of Soimim or not? According to Rabbi Shimon, yes, we do, to stop the Mazonos meter from ticking. But according to Rabbanan, the Mazonos meter stopped anyway. So do we collect the ksuva for her or not? You understand the question? Okay. So Sezmar, we do anyway. Sezmar, you know why? Mibnei chino. We want her to have a rich dowry because we want the woman to get remarried. Why do we want her to get remarried? For purely selfish reasons, not because of her. As far as we're concerned, let her remain a spinster for the rest of her life. Who cares? But she will call Kofsi and let her say, we want other people to marry her. The mother does not explain, but I assume it must be because she's living in besides having to provide her with Mazonos, which stopped. They also provide her with a house. So they probably want her out of the house. So therefore they pay a ksuva up to her, how if Aisha should be rich now and somebody else should come and marry her in order to get her off our hands. Okay? Even though Mazonos stopped. Okay, getting back to the other issue, getting back to when we collect from the Nichsei Yisraimim. The Yisraimim, some say, we collect after Gzeil, if there's an outstanding claim that their father was a thief, or in the Zikin, or their father damaged anybody, we collect from the Yisraimim as well. Rabbi Yisrael here said, we learned these both in Brises. We Gzeil, that we collect from the property of Yisraimim for Gzeil, in this case. If the issue was if they had something which they bore responsibility for, then they have to pay. Now, this is actually something the board sign means if they had real estate. That real estate they have to pay. What are we talking about, that real estate that they have to pay what? So now we say it must be referring to Gzela, okay? Because that's sort of, that's, it says if their father left them real estate, they have to pay for any Gzela Gemara in Baba Kama. Says the Gemara, when he's talking, how do we know if they damage somebody, they have to pay? Minadin, it says this. In this case, it says any for an Ichse Yisrael El Mizubur. You only collect from property in the assignment from the worst property. What do you collect for Nizokin? For damages. From which type of property do you collect? Any recollection? What property does the Nizok get? Edis, he gets the best. Yeah. Balchov gets Benonis. Balchov Benonis. Ksubas Isha Ziburis. So it says, when you say it only takes Ziburis, so what are we talking about? Can't be talking about Balchov. Balchov doesn't collect. Balchov doesn't, unless it's Rivis, which means he's a goy, right? Well, Jewish Balchov doesn't collect, so it can't be talking about Balchov. So it says, when it says you only collect for Ziburis, what's it going on? For Tani, so it must be going, Akini Masnisa must be saying, any from the Yisrael and the Zokin, Elamin is Yiburis. So it says more, okay, fine, that's true, but wait a minute, what about this price? For Tani, Omena Pentakos of, says another price, so the son to take his place, his father, Hani Zokin, Shomi be Idis. Then by Nizokin, you pay with Idis. Or by Achobe Beinonis. Uksuvasisha be Yiburis. Says you pay Yiddish. Some Rabbi Yisrael Bu, how can you pay Yiddish? Some Rabbi Yisrael Bu, very interesting distinction. I don't remember this distinction from the Bavli. Kan be Yosem Godo, kan be Yosem Kotten. If he's a minor Yosem, then we give consumer protection and he always pays Ziburis. If he's an adult Yosem, we assume he knew something about his parents' dealings, he has to actually pay. In that case, see this fascinating distinction. Bavli, I think, until they know what's going on, they only pay Ziburis. Okay, how about a little bit more? Hapogamic Suvasa Ketan. Told you, I have to go a little bit late. Hapogamic Suvasa Ketan. What is Pogamic Suvasa? Finally, we get around to discussing it. Hoysuk Suvasa El Suzuk Suvasa $1,000. Ramalis Kabal Suvasa, he says, I paid you! Vio Maris Lois Kabal Tiela Mona. You only paid me $100, but $100 you paid. Well, Tiela Lashush has got to take an oath. Similarly, Ve'edechon Midashi Prua, what's the case of Ve'edechon testifies it's Prua? Ketan. Hoysuk Suvasa El Suzuk Suvasa $1,000. From Allah, and he says, he's come out and say, I paid you. For your master, he's come out to you, I didn't get paid. She said, I didn't get paid anything. But Eidechom either she proved, one witness testifies it was paid up. Lotif El Beshvua, she's got to make an oath. Min Chazim Shibonim Ketzer, what's Chazim Shibonim? Mocher is the Chazim Lachem, he sold his property to others. Vin Chazim Kulos, and she comes to collect from the customers. Lotif El Beshvua, she has to take an oath. Min Yichsei Yisrael Ketzer, what about from the property of orphans? Mace. He died. And he left his bride to the orphans. From the orphans, she has to take an oath. What's the case where he's not around? He went to Chutzlaretz. And she's collecting. And he's not around. She has to take an oath. Anytime she collects a suva, so the heirs make her take an oath. If she's not collecting suva, she's just staying home and eating mazonos, and a yoshi must be in mosa. The heirs cannot make her take a take an oath. Says one, just a couple lines and more. Kinimasi is the way to learn Mishnah. But if Rasha lo befona, if she collects not in front of him, then lo tifel b'shuah, then she has to take a shuah. She collects in front of him, and he's around still, then she doesn't take a shuah. As for the front, the other mishlo b'ponav, what you can collect from a person. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's not just referring to a woman, but anybody, not just a woman, generic, any person. Okay, that says me. Really, some people have the gifts of anifra shlobefonav, not just a woman, but anybody. So says Mar, except for ksuva or mizonos, you collect money from a guy if he's not around. He's not around to defend himself. Rabbi Yirmiyah, yes, tipote b'shtar sharibis ocheles bo. If he has an outstanding loan against him with ribis, if he doesn't, it's to his benefit to have it paid up, even though he's not around. So in that case, we pay him for it, even though it's not around, as long as that person takes a shvuah. Says Mara, Basin and Kovin Rivas, well, Basin and Misae, they're over at Vera, they help a Jew collect Rivas from another Jew. Tipat the Shari of Lomina Goy, it's like a Goy. It's a case where a Goy wrote him out, he owes money to a Goy. And the Goy accepted whatever Basin Paskin. So there, Basin Paskin's on the Goy, take a Shvuah and we'll collect for you from the guy's property, even though he's not around, in order to that the compound interest would stop right away. Okay. And we're just going to bring a case which is similar to this, but we'll have to leave that case for tomorrow.